CliffCentral.com.
It's Wednesday morning. We've got a special treat for you today. I'm always thrilled to see Ross. How are you doing, man?
Good, and you, brother?
Good, bro. I've got you connected up here. Let me see if this is working, bro.
Yeah, boy.
Loud and clear. Look at you. How are you?
I'm very good, and you?
Good. You were on fire on Saturday 2 weeks
Thank
ago.
You. Thank
I
you.
Loved. I loved seeing you. I saw something that I haven't seen since the 2000s, which I was just blown away by this. What's that? Oh, there's something coming through there.
I thought it was me. Yeah, let's with my mind.
John fucking Denver. I heard something that I haven't heard in a long time. I heard you, the Parlatones, the Art from Just Ginger.
And Arno.
Arno. I've heard the four of you guys doing your own songs.
Yeah.
On stage again for the first time since probably the early 2000s, and yeah. I was in love with it.
Nice, man. It was, since we haven't even, we used to tour together, all of those
I know.
Bands.
You know? Well, look, you guys were also competing with each other at the time, but now there's no ego anymore.
No, we won long ago.
Exactly. You did win.
I'm joking.
No, you did.
No, I think it's
you got paid more. Just tell, you may as well lay it out there now. The rest of them have to understand. Bow down and worship.
It was good to see the guys. Yeah. No, it was actually very nice. Reminiscing, always talking about the old days. Yeah. Very good.
But it seemed like there's a nice camaraderie there, and you'd all gathered really to pay tribute to Johnny, who's kind of, you know, he set the standard, really.
Yeah, we all hope we can continue a career as good and as long as his, you know. So it was very good to see. And then when you hear the music, it's just like that energy, and it's still relevant, you know, that he can still, people still enjoy it from all ages. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's good for him.
And you guys are still busy, right?
Yeah, this is, it's been amazing, man. I think we've, like, I always joke about it, but we're definitely getting, I feel like we're getting better with age.
You are. Know,
yeah, I think.
Well, you were so tight on that stage.
Cheers,
everybody
thanks.
Knew exactly what they were doing. And I mean, even fucking Marco.
Yeah, man, he was rocking it, eh?
Who would have guessed?
He's usually counting numbers in his head. Like, we always joke at him. It's like he's counting the amount of people in the room. But yeah, no, it was amazing, man. It was amazing. The new record is so fun to play. And
your voice, that, you know, sometimes people, they develop kind of a gravity in their voice. And there's kind of an experienced sound that comes with it. But you're sounding as clear as ever.
Stop smoking, man. Finally.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I used to have a cigarette in my ear and my nostril.
No, I remember that.
I smoked a lot. So
when did you stop?
I stopped about 10, 11 months ago. Almost a year now.
You missing it?
Every now and then, but then I just drink more.
Is it something... Well, I know about that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I've had many drinks with you before.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you also not know what to do with your hands sometimes? Because for a lot of smokers, it's just habit. It's not even that they necessarily need the cigarette, but they just don't know what to do with their hands the rest of the time.
It's weird. Like, I feel like my personality has changed as well.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Are
like
you
a
very
comfort.
Aware of, like, gesturing and stuff?
Yeah, I am. And I also feel like more shy. I'm quite an introverted person sometimes. And cigarettes used to help me take a room. You know, like, I don't know why. It was like, it's the most random thing.
And you say the drinking is still keeping you going.
Well, every now and then, you just, like, my dad actually said to me, he says, Ross, this is the worst fatherly advice, but just drink.
When you do that accent, you sound exactly like Billy Connolly. Is that how your dad
sounds? My dad sounds exactly like Billy Connolly, yeah. And, so he just says, drink more.
Really?
Yeah, bad advice, but good fatherly advice sometimes as well.
By the way, Ben is filming some kind of 360-degree video on this. How does this thing work, Ben?
Well, so I'm finding out, Gareth.
Okay, so Ben set up this camera here.
You'll be able to see more of this later on Facebook.
Yeah, I love being filmed. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. Can you tell?
It's really great because people can actually scroll all over your face in different angles.
Wow.
So this is going to be a rare privilege. First of all, because it's really early in the morning. And you're not a fan of, and who would be a fan of performing first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
It's awful, right? And then, second of all, we haven't had you perform, actually, in the studio before. We're going to do some acoustic songs, some of the new stuff. We'll play some of the old stuff. It's entirely up to you.
Shot.
So what do you want to start with? Let's get straight into
it. There's a new song called The Gift.
Okay.
And let's just try it. Let's see if this is going to work. Yeah.
Of course it's going to work.
Comes up, we knew it was coming. Laughed out loud all night, we were just running. Stolen lights, we'll keep on shining. We won't fade to black, let it all come back, let it find me here again. She said death was gonna change me forever, ever, forever and a day. I wanna lose myself in the colors, colors now. This life, the gift, the fear I missed. I know I'm done with all of this. I won't forget where I have been. I know I'm running to begin. I know this. I know it for myself. Turned up, I told her to come in. Just hiding out all night, we knew we had something. Yeah. She said this was gonna change me forever, ever, forever and a day. I wanna lose myself in her colors. This life, the gift, the feel I missed. I know I'm done with all of this. I won't forget where I have been. I know I'm ready to begin. I know this. I know it for myself. I know this. I know it for myself.
Oh my God, that is unbelievable. What Cheers. A song.
Thank you.
What is that? When did you write that song?
I wrote it just before this new record. It was we had a 5-week period and the song sort of showed up.
I've never heard that before. That is the best song I've ever heard from you.
Thank you very ever. Much. Thank it's, you. Thank you.
And I love your other stuff. So yeah. It means it's like, dude, that chorus is...
Thank you. It was a phonetic thing.
Sorry, I interrupted you. No, it just got into it, like climbs into you.
Cheers, thank you. You know, I think we've all been there. That sort of that, with that that hope and that I don't know that kind of that place where things can change, things can anything can happen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What a song.
Thank
man.
You, thank you.
How did that happen? Were you sitting there and you suddenly heard this melody in your head?
Yeah, it sort of came out. It was a thing we were messing around a lot of phonetics with it, and the song sort of just happened and. Instead of getting in the, like sometimes you'll try and shape things before they actually, you know, I just let it sort of happen. And then we listened back to it and it was there. It was sort of.
It's a hard song to sing though. You get some high notes up there, right?
Yeah, it's a different song, you know, different kind of chorus.
Beautiful.
Thank
that
you.
Is beautiful.
Sure.
I'm going to listen to that again and again and again today.
Cheers.
It's one of those songs that when you hear it, you just immediately want to listen to it again. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. You know me.
I appreciate it.
Right?
Yeah. I think you tell me straight.
Damn. Russ, that is spectacular.
Thank you.
Holy shit. I'm moved. And that doesn't happen easily. All right. So tell me how it works now on iTunes. Do you guys make money out of that?
Yeah, we do. Look, the thing is, it's all about streaming now. So, you know, everything, we're glad to hear that. And I still don't know a lot of how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
We've had about 260,000 streams, and then I'm like, wow, that must be good. That must be amazing. But I don't know what that means financially.
Yeah.
I still think it's still new for a lot of people in that regard. But it's at least, you know, it's something that's getting out there. We're on all of those kind of platforms, so we still want to see what, you know, kind of things sometimes.
You've always had, whether it's been you on your own or with Prime Circle or whatever, you've always had pretty good people around you. Like you've got obviously got an eye or you've got an ear, you've got some kind of ability to discern who the right people are to have around you from a PR point of view, from a management point of view, because those people are essential.
Yeah, that's your war team.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you surround yourself with great people. I think that's what I've always tried to do.
I mean, even your engineers, the guys, you know, they came in here this morning. They were setting this whole thing up.
Yeah.
It sounded terrific, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm just, that allows you to focus on the music.
Yeah, yeah. And it, you don't it have makes to worry for fun. About it makes for a good traveling family and makes for like a good respect, you know, like with everyone doing their thing. And you can make jokes. Like, you know, you don't want to go to work and have to deal with people that you don't like from all angles. So it's nice to have that, you know. We spend a lot of time together, so we're blessed with our team.
Yeah. And the other guys, you're not sick of them yet?
No, like, you know, I hate them as well. I love them and I hate them. It is literally like brothers, man. We have it all the time. Like, I know which buttons to push. I love them dearly and I hate them dearly. You know what I mean? Like, it's a,
sure, of
I
course.
Think, I think they feel the same about me.
What about the title of this album, If You Don't, You Never Will? What's that all about?
Another phonetic thing.
What are you talking about?
It's actually one of the choruses, and it's hidden. We haven't called the song that, but it's one of the songs on the album is called If You Don't, You Never Will, but it's not. So you got to go and listen to the album to figure out which song it is. But it was also a phonetic thing. We liked the way it sounded, If You Don't, You Never Will, and turned into this kind of thing where people are going, well, I'm going to do something important. I'm gonna learn to play the guitar, or I'm going to... And it was never a challenge. We never meant it to be corny like that. And I don't think it's corny at all, but, you know, it could come across a bit
corny.
Cheesy.
It
could
no,
come
like
across
it.
A bit like...
But people like that kind of thing.
Yeah, change your life.
Sort of what you say to yourself before you bungee jump.
Yeah, yeah. Don't piss your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you say.
That would have been a good album.
Yeah.
The next album by Prime Circle is going to be called Don't Piss Your Pants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be like sheer rock and roll from thrusting. Yeah.
Do you miss that kind of hard rock stuff too? Because... when you guys were coming up in the industry, like, you were considered pretty hardcore guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if we ever pulled it off properly.
I'm not saying you're soft rock. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that would be insulting. You'd have every right to come over here and kick me in the head. But there's something about, especially if I listen to that last song that you just did, there's something about it that's got a lot more feeling to it. It's a lot less kind of macho and, you know, kind of drums. And obviously, you're doing an acoustic version here. But do you feel like you've evolved to...
Yeah, I think doing songs for the sake of doing them is not very cool.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, if you have it's like politics, man, and, you know, if you make up your mind before you hear a subject or what the real issue is, it's not really a good thing, and it's like, or any aspect of life, you know?
Right.
So I think it's the same thing as going into a thing, and if the song deserves to be heavy, then let's make a heavy song.
Make it heavy.
Yeah.
But you don't listen to any of your old stuff and go, ooh.
I do. I cringe with some of the stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Listen, if we go all the way back to the kind of late 90s and early 2000s, there was some classic, fantastic stuff there. And obviously, it represents a sort of an era, but I don't think that it's weathered badly.
Yeah, to me, some of it has. I think I...
Like, which songs are you not 100% keen to play?
The first few records. I think
really?
The first
few records?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You're going to consign those to the rubbish dump? Okay, well, which songs don't you like doing anymore?
Well, She Always Gets to Me, I feel, was dated very soon, but it's done so well. I never expected the song to do what it did.
Hmm.
And we're grateful, and we still play it, and we do different versions of it, and we, you know, it's very similar to the original. Like Hello as well. But randomly, like, you have to be, it depends on how drunk you are, and Hello becomes exceptional. You know, even for me.
Drunk, it's
if I'm pumped, then that song, I'm on the dance floor.
Well, it's such an energetic song. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see a little more of this acoustic magnificence this morning.
I'm going to try something again. Mm-hmm. This is one of the new ones as well. And let's see if this works.
All right.
If it doesn't, I'll just stop it.
All right.
Shit. See
what happened?
I messed it up.
Okay, so we got time. Don't worry. All we've got here is time.
It's called a ditto pedal, and it's new.
I see what you mean.
Okay,
it's like takes a sample and then helps you to do two guitars at once.
Let's do an old one. So long. I hope you find yourself out there. I hope you find the world you've once had. Find out what it means to be totally free and unfold. You always do just what you're told. Oh, you'll never know until you start it. Reach out and let it in. Oh,
Oh, everything, oh, now. Oh, I'm doing my best somehow. I'm trying, but I don't know how. Oh, nothing can stop me. I've seen this a million times before. You finally didn't finish, but still one more. Don't you know if you're open to open doors? Don't stop believing. I know what you're feeling coming. And feel the warmth against your skin. Feel the world ripple over. Something's been forsaken. Control of the world that we're in. Oh, I'm doing my best somehow. I'm trying, but I don't know how. Oh, nothing can stop me. I've seen this a million times before. You finally didn't finish, but still one more. Don't you know if you're open to open doors? Don't stop believing. I know what you're here. We are feeling. Oh, now I know what you're feeling.
Fantastic. You say old, but I mean that sounds as fresh as ever.
Sure, thank you.
Shit, that's good.
Thank you.
All right. You're doing a lot of touring overseas.
Yeah.
And you've just done Australia recently. You've done Germany a couple of times. Where do you like to go and where do you get the best reception?
Germany has been very good to us. We've been going for about 5-6 years. So Germany's been fantastic in that regard. Some of the venues that we've played and it's growing, and you get to play these old broken castles and like underground and just such these cool places.
And they've got like an appreciation for that stuff. They create an ambience. It's not just some sterile venue. And
yeah, that you won't ever get asked, what do you do for a real job? You know what I mean? I think that people go, you know, it's amazing. So like there's like, and it's such a cool rock and roll market, you know, which is a cool thing to be a part of. And obviously the UK has been great to us as well. We just played the O2 Academy there, and it was fantastic, man. It was just really nice to be there. And my family's there, so you know, I get to see my sister. And
right, did they come to any of the gigs?
They always do, and I hate it because you don't get to see them properly, but it's nice. Yeah.
You get to hang out with them afterwards?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, now, are you still living a kind of rock star life? Because, you know, we're getting older.
Yeah.
This is the sad realization. I looked at myself in the mirror again this morning and thought, oh, for the love of God. You know, that's how I always feel.
Yeah.
Are you still going out there and enjoying yourself, partying a little bit, meeting new people, or is it really down to business? Because, you know, you look at the Stones, and they're in their 70s.
Yeah.
And you see those guys. I don't think the party stops after they go off stage. I think Keith really does mean it when he... Someone told me a story about how they went... I can't remember who it was. They went somewhere in, I don't know, Bali or Bora Bora, one of those Pacific Island places. And they were sitting on the beach at like 6 a.m. and they thought there's no one else around. And they were looking at the sun rising. And this shadowy thing, this figure in the water came up and walked up the beach. It was Keith Richards.
Wow.
He'd been in the water having an early morning swim, but he'd been partying the night before. He's in his 70s.
I love that. I hope.
Do you want to be like that?
Yeah, definitely.
I want to be like
that. If I can not, you know, like he's like a cockroach. He's just not going to die. That man is.
But I love him, right?
Yeah, it's a brilliant thing. And it's, I mean that in the best way, like a coolest looking cockroach you've ever seen. But I know, I love it. I hope to do that. I still am social. I'm still loving being out there. You know, it does get a bit hard when you're on the road and it's there's a lot of dates. I think then sometimes the tour bus is something that is welcomed and there's like a padlock put on the door. But generally, we're still out there and, you know, having a good time. I mean,
you still have a lot of young women throwing their underwear at you.
We do, yes. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Which is wonderful.
Long may that last.
Yes, long may that last.
You better just, you know, don't let yourself go.
No. I look, my side profile is getting a bit bigger. Too much beer, and not, you know, I'm blaming the cigarettes now.
Yeah, well, all right, but they're gone. You can't be blaming the cigarettes. You mean exactly. The fact that they've gone?
The
is
fact
why.
That they've gone is yeah.
Right. No. Nah, don't worry, Ross. You're all right. If you're still getting the underwear thrown at you, all is well.
All is well.
All right. You want to do something else?
Yeah, let me do another song.
I'm enjoying this.
Cheers.
I really am. This is very cool.
This song is a song called Weapons of War.
All right.
And it's about, I was watching this comedian, and I loved him when he was saying people get offended too easily. You know, everyone's getting offended, but then be offended. And I loved what he said. And same as how, but sometimes words are weapons, and sometimes, you know, so there's a time and place for everything. So it's sort of about the song, but it's not really.
So if you're going to be offended, but don't think that everybody else has to care.
Exactly. Exactly. We're taught, he says, we're taught at a young age, sticks and stones may break my bones, you know, and yeah. Children understand this. So I'll see you, but this is not really, it's about that and it's not about that. It's about
all right.
That,
yeah. Let's listen to it.
What went wrong, timing? Was it a sign of the times? Atom bombs, burning. Can't even look at myself no more. Or come in course, findings. I'm finding that I have been lost. Where to turn, where to turn? It's time to just value this cost. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I don't know, don't believe you. I don't know about anything at all. All I know is I see through. See the words that become weapons of war. Raise the flags. Fallen, I'm not falling for that anymore. Sound the call, calling. Not even sure what we're fighting for. Just help me out, help me see. All our dreams have faded away. What is lost can't be saved. I surrender to everything. Yeah, I'm just trying to say that I'm done. I don't know, don't believe you. I don't know about anything at all. All I know is I see through. See the words that become weapons of war. Yeah, seems the words have become weapons of war. Oh no, weapons of war.
Man, that is some song too.
Thank you.
I've heard that a couple of times before, and I love it.
Thank you. We're doing a video. It's coming out soon. We just got the first draft today.
Okay, so videos. Let's talk about this, because in some ways they'll be seen more than ever before.
Yeah.
Because TV used to be the way that we saw music videos, but of course now you could see them on YouTube, and you watch them more than 3-4 times, and you know you could show your friends, you could send a link.
Yeah.
So they're shareable, but you don't make money out of them.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's different because it's on the internet.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the way that all of this is happening, or are you just dealing with the change like everybody
dealing
else?
With it, happy with it, you know? I just think we often play this game as like, what music video would you play again? Like which one has had that impact that you would like go even back to the 80s that you'd play now, and like you're like, oh, remember how good that video was.
A couple
was.
Of Springsteen ones couple that of, I can remember.
Yeah, the Smack My Bitch Up video was great.
Yeah, Smack My Bitch Up is good. I liked, let me think about this. This is a good question.
Yeah, because like this, a lot of videos
Peter
are disposable.
Peter Gabriel, he did some good music videos.
Oh, the one with all the fruits and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
The stop animation. He was one of the first guys
that's
to ever
right.
do that.
And there was a huge amount of innovation that went on around music videos.
Yeah.
Because they had to be different, and everybody was trying to do something original and creative. Yeah. And I think that we've kind of lost that.
We have, I think. You know, then I've started directing videos. I've done the Lost Ghost video, and we've started a company called Madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing a lot of cool things, and we're trying to be trying to be cool with stuff. So there's a cool video that we're going to be working on for a song called Innocence.
Yeah.
We've just done an animated one for Weapons of War. And it's cool stuff. So we just hope that you can repeat it, and we hope we get better at it, you know?
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is they're for permanent record now.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with what used to happen is you'd have to just wait and hope the broadcaster would schedule someone's music video.
Yeah.
You'd just sit there like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's not like you could buy the thing or you could go and watch it on YouTube.
Exactly.
But it is kind of frustrating because it also means that people steal stuff.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
You just got to deal with it and realize that you're the origin. Try and get, and if yours didn't echo and someone stole it and then theirs got bigger, then that's your own fault. You know what I mean? If your initial idea they stole and they got bigger with that idea, then they marketed it better. You know?
Have you ever heard someone else's song and you were pretty convinced that they stole something from you?
No, I luckily haven't. We've been sued a few times.
You have?
Hello. I remember back in the day, a guy tried to sue us.
You're joking.
Yeah, for Hello. And it was like our first time out, and I had the CD of me recording. I'd recorded it at my house. But it used to be I'm in the sink, and it used to be a lot of swear words, and it was a lot of, like, Hello was not the song that people heard. And we sent the guy a copy of this, and then the suit was dropped. But, like, certain things, like, people
trying
to...
Was he a local dude?
He was a local guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it happens. People are going to try and, you know, and maybe he heard something. Maybe he wasn't trying to be malicious, you know, give people the thing, but you never know.
I want to know your thoughts on this. A friend of mine who's a session guitarist said to me once, he reckons all the great songs have already been written.
I disagree with him.
Well, I mean, you've proven it this morning, but...
Cheers.
But he said that there are only the 8 keys on the piano, and there's sharps and flats, and there's only so many combinations of those things that you could do.
Yeah, but there's how many combinations of emotion is there? You know, and how much, you know, dialect or inflection, there's a lot of different ways to do things, and there's different attacks. And there
are all the other instruments, too.
They can take away from music, but then, like, a pack of cards is infinite, like, ways you can freaking shuffle the thing practically, or I don't know.
Right.
So I don't know. Music is it's all about who's feeling it actually in the end. Who's it getting to, and what does it do to that person?
Does it start? You know, I'm fascinated by the whole idea of how music comes about and how you write songs.
Yeah.
But does it come about first as a feeling?
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Jesse Clegg just the other day about this, and he said to me, for him, it's very much a feeling, and then that sometimes it's the melody, sometimes it's words.
Yeah.
It's usually one of those three.
Yeah.
It's not like you come up with the bass track first.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes I'm sure the bass track, depending on how funky you feel that day. But
there are genius drummers who've come up with amazing stuff that has changed the face of music.
Yeah.
But for you as the writer.
It's different, but a lot of time I write guitar and vocals sort of same time in a way, you know, sort of on a feeling that I'm having. And then let loose, and it's not necessarily going to make as much sense the first few times around. But then I start to piece it together because my memory is bad. So then I try and record a lot more, and then I sit back and listen to it from a listener's perspective, and then I work it a little bit more. But then you don't want to overwork it and try and make it make too much sense, because then you lose phonetic, and then you lose that feeling. Some words are chords. Some words sound better sung with certain chords. Like Kurt Cobain was very good at that, like very much like nursery rhyming. Kind of singing the way he would do stuff, so it was kind of a cool way of putting music together.
Give me an example, because I'm not sure.
When we were working on the song "The Gift," I start the song "This Life, the Gift, I Feel I Missed," and just when I just did, then we changed it to "This Life, a Gift." Even just that little bit, it didn't feel right to me. This life, the gift, the feel, I missed
it. So it's where it all things. Falls.
Yeah,
it kind of has to fit the space.
Yeah, and sometimes it won't necessarily make English sense as 100% as you'd like, but sonically it does, and then the emotion is the.
Well, I've noticed also with you, you sometimes have a way of pronouncing things when you sing that you don't sound like that when you talk.
No,
so it's your sound. It's very much a trademark thing.
Yeah, maybe
that you do, but it also. Perhaps it does that. It fills the spaces for you. Maybe you're super aware and hypersensitive to this stuff.
Yeah.
Where the rest of us, we only know that we like what we hear.
Yeah.
But for you in the creation of it, that's how you've developed that intonation that you use.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, look at us breaking you down here.
I don't know. I break myself down on a Monday with a hangover. But yeah.
Tell me, are you worried about things like your voice, your instruments? Are you particular about these things, a little bit pedantic?
No.
No. You're not.
I'm terrible.
You should be looking after your voice better. You have it insured, for example?
No.
I don't.
I think it's just sort of, you just go along with it, you know? It just, like, I try and not. No, I would be lying if I said if I try not. No. But I just, yeah, I just sort of go on, live life.
You do what you want.
Yeah, and enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can.
And if this guitar didn't work, you'd get another one.
Yeah. But then you can't get another vocal, and I'm not a very good guitar player, so I'm screwed.
But you are. What are you talking about? I've been watching you. It's just you and the guitar. Someone sent a message to me just now saying, "Are you kidding me? Is this really live?"
Nice, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to this. I can't believe that was live. I've never heard music played like this before.
Beautiful.
I mean, why haven't we ever heard that Prime Circle song before, says Emma. Then, Ben, please make sure you film this stuff every time there's a musician in the studio, because this is great, says someone.
Nice. Well done, Ben.
Yeah, there we go. Isn't that nice?
360
Give
cameras
him some
working.
Credit.
Yes.
Ross, what's that, Ben? Say something.
Not the only talented one here. Right?
Yeah. Fuck, was that live? Amazing, says
nice.
Someone.
Beautiful.
That's justice. There's also here someone saying, Ross, I could listen to you every day, all day.
Nice.
I'm loving Ross this morning. More, please, says Michelle. Loads of Twitter messages coming through. And then here, a Prime Circle, to be frank, in my late 30s, I was brought up with these guys. They hit it right in the beginning. I kind of fell off of them, but I've just been taken back to that feeling from ages ago. That first track.
That's beautiful.
Mr. B from Cape Town. See, it is emotional. Are you a very emotional guy?
Yeah, I can be. Yeah. You know.
When you cry, do you cry in the shower?
Yeah, I've been known to cry in the shower.
Why are you laughing at him? No, come into this microphone. I know the sound engineer is not meant to come and talk in these interviews. Just come here quickly. Why are you laughing at him?
No, he can be very emotional.
This is our sound engineer. He's been called the deaf Satanist.
Yeah, you've got this beard. What's your name, man? I didn't even meet you properly.
Dave.
Dave, nice to meet you, Dave. We've met before, but yes, I mean... So what is it like working with this guy? Is he a problem?
No, Ross is a sweetheart.
I mean, he's counting his job here.
All right, but why is he so emotional? Do you think emotional in a negative sense or a positive sense?
No, always in a positive sense. I mean,
so he doesn't break down on stage and then...
No, but he is emotional. You know, you can see the tension before shows and,
right.
And then after a show, if it's a great show, you know, you can see the emotion.
Has anything ever gone really horribly, horribly wrong and he's lost his shit with you?
No,
that's amazing. No. You're so respectful.
It was like what you said earlier, you know, surround yourself with the right team.
Yeah.
And
you guys know what you're doing.
We never have issues. You know, right. It's like a brotherhood on the road. You know, it's actually detrimental when you've finished a tour, you can't wait to go back on tour.
Rehab and counseling.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, I suppose it's like a big dysfunctional family, though.
Yeah.
And you do miss each other when you're not all together, but when you are together, it sometimes gets annoying, like you do with any family.
Well, weirdly enough, I find it a functional family. I've just come back from a holiday with my real family.
Yes.
And we fought
the whole time.
Everyone was on each other's nerves. We didn't like being around each other, and then we all cried when we left, you know. And I find it like weird that, you know, when you're on tour, you have a functional family because everyone has a purpose and you know, sort of goes and gets on with it. You know, so it's kind of, I think it would be more
functional. But why I asked about emotional is because it sounds in your songs like you are extremely sensitive, but at the same time that you've got quite a tough exterior.
Yeah.
You know, your songs kind of, they let us into what's going on emotionally with you. And does something have to happen to you for you to be able to write some of these songs? Like, do you have to have gone through something shit to be able to write a very... powerful, deep, heavy, you know, kind of just one of those songs that takes you into a dark place?
I think, sometimes you have to. Certain songs you have to have been there. You can't sort of lie about it. You have to be able to have been there. And then certain songs, it sort of comes down to that, the way you've written it. So, you know.
When you're re-performing it, when you're doing it like 6 years later and, you know, that girl's no longer in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think of her when you're singing it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I sing it in the shower, you know. But No, but you think about the people, you know.
Why does the shower, Dave, answer this for me. Why does the shower have such good acoustics? How come everybody sounds great in their shower? What's that all about? Come on, Dave, help us out here.
No, it's the natural reverb.
A bit of reverb.
Natural reverb, yeah. And it's warm and toasty. Yeah. But I think...
it's your safe place.
Safe place, yeah. Always nice.
No, but when you're talking about these emotional things, I mean, you don't... Not everybody has to suffer to create great art.
Yeah, but it's also a way of purging. So, like, once you... Like, I had a with a song called Ghosts a while back, and that song's sort of about a very depressing thing, about being depressed, having depression in your life, or mental disorder kind of feeling that you feel that this person, there's someone else living with you.
Right.
And so Ghosts was that, and it really helped me purge a time in my life.
It's like a bit of meditation for you. It's almost therapy, right?
Yeah, getting rid of it, at least at confronting it.
You're doing it so publicly, you make yourself very vulnerable when you do that.
Yeah.
All right, we got someone on the line who wants to talk to you. Do you want to take a call, or you're not in the mood?
No, let's take
a call. I can tell him to piss off. I don't mind. You sure?
No, let's do it.
All right, let's see who's on the line here. It's on the phone line, right, Sia? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Morning, guys. Morning, Rod.
Morning.
But yeah, I need to apologize on behalf of Jeffrey's Bay for about 4 or 5 years ago. You guys had a show there at a place called Jolly Dolphin.
Yes.
And there must have been only 60 people because of the fucking shitty advertising they did beforehand.
Yeah.
For you guys playing there. I've got a question, actually. You guys, like, sort of shorten your set whenever there is, and how do you feel playing in front of 60 people? I felt so sorry for you guys. It's Jeffrey's Bay, and there's 60 people that rocked up for the show. So on behalf of Jay Bay, I'm sorry, dude. It was the advertising that was...
You should be embarrassed.
I am.
No, you know what the thing is with that? Is it's, I mean, we still do the occasional corporate and stuff like that, but We're okay with that. Like, you don't shorten your set because you've practiced a certain way and you want to do stuff. And but you try and give what you can. There's a rule we have. It's called 5 or 5,000. So that's the rule of thumb.
All right. Well, he's gone. He just abandoned you.
He abandoned it.
No, but you've played gigs. I mean, when I was doing stupid DJing, and I know DJs are the enemy.
No, they're not.
No, they're the enemy. they're the enemy of live music. No, look, Dave's got his fingers up there. He said, yeah, fuck them. But... when I used to go and do these things, you'd sometimes pitch up. They hadn't done their job in marketing it.
Yeah.
They expect people to just pitch up.
It still happens, yeah.
People don't know where you're going to be. They don't always know. And then you end up with a small crowd, but you put your life into it, right?
You
just got to perform as if it's a million people.
Yeah, you got to, you know, you're playing an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, and you've traveled for 10, 12 hours to get there.
Yeah.
You know, something. It's a...
Make it count.
Make it count, you know. And the thing is, you get to do it. I know it sounds... but you get to do it something you love, so you know, you get over it for us.
They say that the Beatles used to perform in Hamburg every night to the same people, same 20, 30 people, and that's how they became so good.
Yeah,
they just kept doing the same songs over and over again until they figured out different ways to do them eventually.
Yeah.
Do you get to a point with some of your songs where you want to change them completely?
We
and
do.
Where you do on a live basis?
Yeah, we do on a live basis. We try not, but I went to Counting Crows and I wanted to walk out. And I love Counting Crows, but it just, they changed the music so much. And I get that. I'm all for creativity and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we'd never seen them. And if maybe it was our seventh time and if they'd been here before. But they just changed every single song. And it seemed that he was doing a very similar melody over every song. And that was frustrating to me. So we try not change it to the point where it's unrecognizable. But you try and maybe add a different element to it, a different instrument, or taking away some instruments that it's still the marching of the song. It's still moving the way you know it.
It's got to be familiar.
It's familiar.
Because that's why they're there, right?
Yeah, you can sing along with it, but
I've got to tell you, like, I hate it when I go to a concert and then they won't play any of their old music. Yeah. I don't mind. I want to hear the new album.
Yes.
But at the same time, when a band is only going to do their new stuff and they don't give me some of the stuff that I loved them for before.
I
get annoyed.
Yeah. I know Lifehouse is coming to South Africa. Mm-hmm. Like from years ago, I was a big fan. And if they didn't do any, if they just do new stuff, I'm going to feel completely out of touch.
Trying to think, Lifehouse. Well, give me a song.
No, I can't think of a song. Hanging by a moment. Yeah. Yeah. If they don't do that, it's going to be a bit of an annoying thing.
Got you.
But like
better do that, those motherfuckers.
They better, yeah. But we get it a lot as well. Like I have gone through patches especially with the first few albums where I didn't want to play the songs, and we didn't do it for a while, and a lot of people got pretty pissed off about it. So we needed a break from the songs. It wasn't that we hated them. It was just sort of.
But how many years has it been a Prime Circle?
17 almost.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
you've got to be one of the most successful bands in the country.
Well, we kept going, man, and that's stunning.
Did you ever get close to breaking up?
Every album, every freaking album. It's always that thing.
Is it you? Are you the problem?
We all have our things.
Yeah. That sounds like it's you.
Yeah. It's always been a thing, yeah. Like that, I suppose you have to go through. You have to break things, and I think you sort of have to see your boundaries when you're creating something new. So you have to see where the edges are, and then once you figure that out, then you can see if you want to carry on or not.
Do the other guys get pissed off when you do solo stuff?
Like doing this early morning.
They're not jealous.
Jealous now.
No.
Every now and then I'll do something.
They're not even listening to you right
now. Yeah. But I don't generally. I don't think I've ever played a show on my own. I've never done that. So maybe one day I'll do that. It's something it's a fear I've always had.
And who would you love to do collaborations with? I'm talking internationally. I mean, if someone came to you and said, "Listen, Ross, I can get you into a meeting with whoever you want."
Yeah.
Who would be in your top three?
You know, like I'd love like. Everyone always says, I love the Foo Fighters, so anything with Dave Grohl. But I'd love to do something with, like, Pat Smear or one of the guys in the band.
Okay.
You know, so get the guitarist to come and feature, so it's, like, something like that. Or it would be cool to do something with someone completely different, you know, like, even, like, a Macklemore or something like that can be quite interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to an interview with Dave Grohl not so long ago, and he is... It's just amazing. I mean, having been part of Nirvana, and then having been having started the Foo Fighters, and just found his own level in so many ways.
Yeah,
he's deep, right?
Yeah, man, amazing.
He hits all the right notes. He ticks all the boxes too. Yeah. He just seems to have everything in place.
He's amazing. I love him. I would love to meet him, but one day.
One day,
yeah,
you will when he's old in a wheelchair and shitting in his colostomy bag. I go hi. Dave, I'm Ross. I'm a huge fan of yours. And he'll go, "Hey, just come over here."
Yeah. Like,
try to take a swipe at you with his one working arm.
There we go.
Oh, man. This is great. When you perform and there's a huge crowd of people, does it just give you the energy that it used to? Do you remember what it felt like to go up there on stage when you guys had just started and you felt like a god?
It feels amazing to play big crowds. I must admit, but my whole thing has always been the machine that it is. It's like the big truck. So you get to drive that. You get to fly that plane. You get to be able to get into that shuttle. So I think it's a blast off kind of moment for me.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you don't own. I can't afford the space shuttle. You know, or the rig that these guys are putting up, like millions and millions. But it's nice. You rent the stuff. You put it up there. And then you get to play with it. You know what I mean? You get to play with this big system in front of all these people. It's amazing. You know, like the biggest crowd, I think, was 50,000. And I remember reading in the
stadium,
Lord of the Rings, it was like 50,000 orcs, you know.
So that's what it felt like. Yeah. Facing the orcs.
Facing that thing. And then suddenly everyone's on your side. And it's just amazing. It's such a moment.
Do you get time to get out of it? Because when you're working at your hardest, most people are on holiday, and when people are on holiday, you're working your hardest.
Yeah. I like that. I can be quite antisocial as well, so it's quite nice for me. You know, I don't like being on holiday, and then I've never liked... Like, I want to be playing shows.
You don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. Like, give me a week, and then I'm done. And I'm done, yeah.
Do you ever just bust out the guitar when you guys, you know, like sitting at a braai with your friends?
I hate that.
You won't do it.
No, I get drunk enough, and every now and then it happens. But I really don't like doing it.
That would be something.
I won't say.
You invite Ross over to your house, and the next thing you know, he's performing songs there. That's been.
For everyone else,
it's great. For you, it would be shit.
I heard a guy once did that. He pulled out his guitar and he played like an hour for his friends at a braai, and then he sent them a bill.
That's clever.
Can you imagine?
You could do that. That would be a move.
I wonder if they're still friends.
That would be such a move.
Yes, what a bad move.
I love that. And then they can invoice you back for the expenses of the food and stuff, but you must get your performance fee.
Exactly.
And actually, what the real way to do it is to pretend you're drunk, say, "All right, guys, I feel like playing some songs," and you click your fingers, and meanwhile, you've got everybody set up already. They bring out the rig.
They start
wiring. The next thing you know, they've got a full-on concert in their backyard.
Yeah.
Do you celebrate birthdays and things, or you don't care about that?
We don't do that. We don't. You because it, yeah, we're just tight. We don't like spending money.
Yeah, Scott. So,
yeah. No, the whole band, we're terrible. We don't buy each other anything.
When you go to the bar or whatever afterwards?
I'll go to the bar. I'm actually the most generous at the bar.
Really?
So Dirk, the guitarist, will always follow very quietly. And then he'll get
Dirk
a pint.
So he gets the free drink straight away.
Straight away.
He knows.
Yeah.
Bastard.
But yeah.
So. Did your father teach you to be mean?
No, he actually was too nice.
Ross, don't spend money.
Yeah, he was offered a job at a prison in Scotland. And he had to turn it down because he knew half the guys and he would let them out. And it's a true story. Jim, come over.
You told me your dad was from like Glasgow, right?
Yeah, we're all born. I was born in Motherwell, same as my dad, close to Glasgow, and brought here when I was wet from the womb.
Hmm.
And
you guys grew up in Middleburg.
Middleburg, yeah, which is very similar to Motherwell.
Jesus, you can't drink the water there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Have they improved anything? Is it worse?
No, there was a dead guy. There was a dead guy in the reservoir.
Oh, really?
That's why.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a wonderful place. We complain about Cape Town, and there are a whole lot of people in Sandton this morning.
People started getting sick, and then you wonder what's going on.
And there was a body floating in the reservoir.
Dead guy in the reservoir.
Only in Middleburg.
Yeah, I think there's a band called Dead Guy in a Reservoir. Yeah, now because of that. I don't feel well as the hit single.
You don't go there to Middleburg unless you have to.
We just played a show there. My parents are still there. But yeah. So
can they believe what's happened to you?
You know, the whole town is in shock.
How do your mom and dad deal with the fact that you're a rock star?
They're very happy. They're very, very happy. I just think the whole town is looking at it going, that kid used to skateboard past my house, and he was always smoking weed, and I thought he would be nothing, and then now they're paying a lot of money to come to the shows.
Right.
So it's nice.
Any dickheads from school who you've seen at your concerts and thought, should have been nice to me at school?
I've seen a few, yeah.
Right. That must feel good.
It does feel good, yeah.
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 You ever go through Facebook and see like the girl who was the hottest girl at school, and then you see her on Facebook now and she looks like a troll?
Yeah, I've done that as well. I was going to say I hadn't, but now I have.
Yeah, there was this one girl who was at school with me. Yeah. God, she was beautiful at school. Yeah. She was always too good for everybody. I got onto Facebook the other day. She's overweight. She's looking terrible. Her skin is bad.
Sure.
Her hair is greasy. She's got like two screaming children in the back of her Facebook profile picture. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's just hell on wheels in a black dress. And I thought, I think I saw you when you were at your best.
Yeah. I'll remember me like that always.
Yes, of course. Yeah. All right, the other guys, are any of them looking at settling down and leaving this rock life?
No, I think Marco would be the guy that you'd assume because he has four daughters.
He's very fertile then.
Well, I think it's because the theory is he closes his eyes during coitus.
Mm, he's not sure how it happens.
Yeah, you must keep your eyes open, they say, and then you'll have a boy. I don't know. That's kind of intense.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, I've heard rumors.
All right, okay.
But Marco with the four daughters, he's we're all loving the rock life. I think that by now the wives and the kids have gotten used to it.
Yes.
The missing of birthdays and Christmas and everything like
You're
that.
You're not married.
I'm not married.
No, you don't want to get married.
I'm not. No, I'm married to the road. I've always liked being on the road. I know it sounds
do people understand that, or do they think that you're making an excuse, like you've got commitment issues? Because that's
I probably do
I
have
understand.
Commitment issues.
Look, I get you, dude. Yeah. I love nothing more than going home and being on my own.
Yeah,
it's so fantastic. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah,
eat whatever you want. Sleep. Fart, walk around without your clothes on.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic being on your own.
You could do that like the hottest girl at school did that with her husband, but like it still doesn't look right.
It's not right.
It's not nice.
And I get it when you say like you're married to the road because your life is so different to everyone else's.
Alternate lifestyle, really yeah.
And these days, luckily, you can do that. But there are a lot of people who say, oh, shame, poor Ross. He's just such a lonely soul.
Ah, that's fine.
Doesn't bother you.
Yeah, you might have heard them wrong. Poor Ross is such a lonely soul.
All right, I want one more song before we go.
Okay, so we're doing
what this. Do you want to do?
I can do an old one if you want.
Whatever you want. You blew me away with that first one. I don't think you can get close to that again.
Okay,
that's the best thing I've ever heard.
Okay,
whatever you like, you decide, dude.
Can we turn these up? I haven't got much in my ears now. No.
It was almost did you have them on before?
There we go.
Okay, you got some volume?
No.
Better?
get there. We'll get there. This is why we sacrifice.
Don't stress. I'm sitting here. I'm only too happy to have live music in the studio. It's fantastic. I think you're going to have to start that one again. It seems to have put a pause in the middle.
Run away from yourself. Well, you're so petty when you're somebody else. You're the one I'll move. Well, I'm always distracted by you. First we go down, down, then we go in, and then we go round, round, lost in it, yeah. Innocence breaking in, we won't go faking it. Round we go until we make it. Round we go, yeah.
That was a bit of innocence. I bucketed it up.
No, it's fantastic, dude.
Thank you very much.
Look at you. Seven albums.
Seven albums. Crazy stuff.
And there's no shine coming off here. It's fantastic.
Cheers.
Ross, lovely to see you, brother.
Thank you. You guys, always thanks good. For having us. Thanks all, for having me.
Always. And bring the rest of those guys in sometime, and we set this up and do a whole concert.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll love to do that. We'll do something on the roof.
I love hearing you play. It's really special.
Cheers.
And all of those songs. You can you catch them. Apparently, someone said to me here, you're doing a thing at Nyrox this Sunday.
This Sunday we're playing Nyrox. It's a charity for Paws R Us. And a lot of people bugger off for December and just leave their dogs. So if there's anyone that's planning on doing that, don't be an arsehole.
Yeah, we'll come and shoot you.
Yeah. So that's a nice thing. Paws R Us is an amazing foundation. Mm-hmm. It's one of the charities that we work with. They've named a dog after me.
Oh, really?
I always knew I was a dog.
Yes, that's very nice.
And there's a wine after that as well. And then so that's nice. So we're playing Rumors as well on with Rumors Rock City. Mm-hmm. In Cresta, which is going to be a very rock and roll show. We're not leaving until the roof sweats.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's actually happened in places.
Yeah, you remember what it was like back in the day?
The roof sweating.
The roof sweating and getting other people's sweat is dripping on you. It's sexy, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
I won't be coming to that one. I might come to Nyrox. All right, that's terrific. So if you want to come along, they're looking after rescued and abandoned and abused animals with the money that they can raise. At this concert at Nyrox, and you get to hear all the songs.
And it's just Ginger, it's Khan from Politons.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a nice lineup.
What a lineup.
I know, we're getting to play with these guys again, you know?
Superb.
Yeah.
Ross, lovely to see you, dude.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and keep well. Ross Learmonth, everybody, and wow, some of those songs. You got to listen to them again. Mm-mm-mm. CliffCentral.com